1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
I got a caller on the line. Is this Justin? Let's get him on the phone. Justin, how you doing, man? Justin?
Yes, sir.
How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Is this Phil Hendry?
Yeah.
Mr. Hendry, first of all, I want to say that I really like your program, and I listen to it all the time.
Thank you.
And I wanted to tell you about my school. I go to Canyon High in North near Valencia.
Okay.
And so I wore one of your T-shirts to school, and they told me that I had to take it off.
Because, why?
Because they, I guess they thought the image on the T-shirt of your face, the principal said it was disturbing. And it was
disturbing.
Yeah, they said that if you know your T-shirt where it's your, they have a picture of you.
Yeah, that's like our show logo.
Yeah, my principal, Mr. Madison, said that I had to go home. I had to take it off.
It's like a uniform thing.
No.
Do they allow T-shirts?
Yes, sir. They do.
At your school?
Yeah, but I had to take this one off because it was. They said it was disturbing to some of the special ed kids, and so I thought that was pretty wrong, and I was wondering if you wanted me to get a petition going, or...
The image of my face on my T-shirt was disturbing to the special ed kids.
Well, yeah, because they said it looks... It's just... They thought it was pretty... I don't know. I mean, they said your face... You know, there's like a sunburst behind your head.
Yeah.
Well, they said it just looks... Just, you know, like frightening to a lot of the kids who are, I guess, not, you know, emotionally sound or anything. So,
hold on for a minute. I got another guy in the line.
This kid's calling. He's Bradley Military Academy on account of Aladita.
Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, who's this?
This is Darcy Collins, Phil. I'm calling from Bradley Military Academy.
What's up?
What this kid's saying is true, because the same thing happened at our military academy, and they said that
my picture on a T-shirt was disturbing.
They said it looked like Casper the Friendly Ghost or something. They said it was pretty bad. And
well, I mean, they said that your face was like, I don't know, it looked like this.
What is that, man?
Nothing. It's a fart sound.
Get out of here. It's a fart sound. Oh, do we have him on the line? Okay, great. I'm going to be talking now to one of the greats, great racing legend, Dale Earnhardt Jr. is going to join us right now on our Newsmaker line. Dale, how you doing?
Real good. Baba Booey.
All right. So we don't have him on the line, huh?
He said he was.
Does that sound like Dale Earnhardt Jr. to you?
I don't know.
Play it back.
Baba Booey.
What did it sound like, bud?
A guy said Baba Booey and then farted.
Is that Dale Earnhardt Jr.?
I don't know.
Well, would he do something like that?
Maybe.
Maybe?
You never know.
1-800-449-8686. Man, am I going to... Oh, what I would love to do. Tonight on the Phil Hendry Show, we are telling you about the Bobby Dooley T-shirt. It's available on our website, and all you have to do is go to www.philhendryshow.com. It's brand new in our souvenir shop. And it's the first time that we've had anything in our souvenir shop that is recommended for the ladies. Now, one of the things, in fact, Bud, I think you mentioned this. Your mom saw it, and she likes it. It's got a nice color. And
Here's what my mom said.
All right, forget it, man. Go to a break.
Oh, come on. What's the matter?
Go to a break. I don't care. Just, I'm depressed.
Oh, come on, man. We're just having fun.
I just don't want to do it. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
What a baby.
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Now, if you go to PHS at philhendryshow.com and you want to request a bit from a past show, you can do it there, and we get a lot. One of these is what I'm going to read right now. We have quite a few people who are requesting flashbacks. This is from Ron. He says, Phil, one of my favorite bits of all time is Jeff Dowder rambling about a flaming bunny rabbit scurrying around and setting off a forest fire. But I never, ever did think that life could imitate Phil on this one. Boy, was I wrong. Check out this story from New Mexico, signed Ron. And here's the story. A mouse got its revenge against a homeowner who tried to dispose of it in a pile of burning leaves. The blazing creature ran back to the man's house and set it on fire. Luciano Mares, who lives in Fort Sumner, New Mexico, said he caught the mouse inside his house and wanted to get rid of it. I had some leaves burning outside, so I threw it in the fire, and the mouse was on fire and ran back at the house, Mares said, from a motel room Saturday. Village Fire Chief Juan Chavez said the burning mouse ran to just beneath a window, and the flames spread up from there and throughout the house. No one was hurt inside, but the home and everything in it was destroyed. I don't believe that for a minute. I think that's some guy's kooky story to cover up the fact that he probably was freebasing. I don't know. Anyway, here is our story of flaming animals. This is Jeff Dowder explaining why forest fires occur. The static electricity from rabbit fur. This is the fire season, Professor Dowder. And there's going to be a lot of fires out west and in wherever there is dry brush. And I know they're now beginning to enlist the aid of weather satellite technology, et cetera, to try to track some of this. And I was wondering what you could perhaps fill in terms of the blanks in this.
Well, let's be very clear about what causes a forest fire. Once you know what caused a forest fire, then you're able to go down there and keep it from happening. But the thing that caused a forest fire that people don't know, and I got a very good friend of mine, Toby Bowe, who worked at Temple City Animal Hospital for 2 years, and he read up on it. When it gets very dry, a lot of the high brush, a lot of the high weeds, okay, Mr. Hendry? Okay?
Yes, I'm following you.
Okay. A lot of the high weeds get very dry. Now, in the low-lying flatland foothill areas, as you get up into the higher crested alpine areas, there is a fairly significantly large jackrabbit population. A community could number anywhere from 1,000 jackrabbits to 50 to 53,000 jackrabbits in a significant area. The jackrabbits, I don't know if you've ever seen a jackrabbit, they get moving. they haul ass, you know.
Yeah, I've seen them. I got them around my house.
Yeah, exactly. So a jackrabbit gets hauling ass through the high, dry weeds. Static electricity now comes into play. The fur on a jackrabbit, as he's hauling ass through these weeds, gets a little spark of static electricity. Have you ever seen the static electricity on a pair of slacks?
And yes, I have.
Okay. The jackrabbit gets hauling ass through the weeds. Little spark of electricity goes. Now the jackrabbit will, at that moment, burst into flames. Now you got a flaming rabbit that's just hauling ass and setting everything on fire. Okay?
Now hold on for a minute, man. I just want to...
Yeah.
You're telling me that the fur from the jackrabbit...
Well, keep in mind, it's very dry.
Absolutely. It's extremely dry in those areas, and we do get static electricity. That the fur from the jackrabbit, as he goes through the weeds, creates static electricity, and the jackrabbit bursts into flames?
Yes, sir, that's right. So now you've got this bunny that's just, like, completely burning up, and it's touching off, you know, trees as it goes by. Toby Bowes, now he's camping with a friend of his, okay? They're up there doing some camping. Also do some brown trout fishing, okay? He also, and I don't probably shouldn't say this, but he took a hit of acid. He said it was, like, unreal. You know, when you get up at that elevation, what the sky looks like. He took this hit of acid.
Well, I don't need to know about that, man, okay? Just tell me.
Well, anyway, Toby was up there, and on any given night, he said, man, you wouldn't believe it. I saw like 3-4 bunnies on fire just going, woo, man. They're touching off trees and everything.
Well, if that's the case, then your friend was in the middle of a forest fire.
What?
If that's the case, your friend was in the middle of a forest fire.
Well, he didn't make any comment on that specifically. But
well, what do you mean he didn't make any comment on it? Look, if he's seeing four or five flaming rabbits touching off trees.
Well, again, like I said, it's you know, I don't have the full story, but he's up there, and he's up there with Chris Sorensen, Toby Bowe's up there, and Steve Wedlock, okay, which are a couple of dudes that we surf with. Anyway, there is up there, and he took a hit of acid. Next thing you know, he's got rabbits that are on fire, just boom, boom, boom. And that's when Toby said, I get it. Okay, this is what's going down. The rabbit gets on fire.
Wait a minute.
What?
Are you telling me your friend cooked this up on acid?
Well, but see, you got to understand something, Mr. Henry. Acid will take you to the molecular level of consciousness.
No, wait a minute. I just want to be clear. Your friend takes a hit of acid and starts imagining that flaming rabbits are setting off trees.
Well, think about it, man. I mean, what's wrong with it?
What do you mean static electricity from the bunny fur?
It does, man. If it's that dry and the bunny fur touches it off, you get acres of trees up in flames before you can say, hey, time for another bong hit. Because what's happening, man, is all of that dead growth, it goes up. The rabbit doesn't know. The rabbit doesn't care. The rabbit doesn't know that it's touching it off. What are you talking about?
What am I talking about?
Yeah.
What are you talking about, man? You know, you would have been fine if you would have said your friend went up there and you didn't mention the acid.
I just said it because he said the sky looks cool.
Yeah, that's fine, man. But now you're telling me, after you tell me your friend took a hit of acid, now I'm sitting here thinking about flaming rabbits. He hallucinated the whole thing.
Oh, yeah, okay, that's right, man. Yeah, he just came up with the idea of a rabbit, you know, bursting into flames, just like that.
No, he did it with the help of LSD.
Well, whatever, man. I mean, you called me up, so.
Where are you right now?
At a pond.
You're at a pond.
Yeah. Look at that. Look at that. You see that, Chris?
Yeah.
Okay, a rabbit just went through. Okay, there it is. There's the flames. So you can kiss my you-know-what, man.
What do you mean a rabbit just...
A rabbit just hauled ass through, man. Now there's fire.
Is the rabbit on fire?
What's left of him, yeah. He's cooking over there now, man. This rabbit's just all cooked up. But that's okay, Mr. Talk Show Host. You know what's going down, so that's fine. Give me some more coffee, man. Give me some more of that sangria.
That's by request on the Phil Henry Show, a flashback, The Flaming Rabbits. That's 2 years old now. And that is from the fire season of 2003 when everything was... Was it 2003? Yeah, when everything was just smoking around here. Now, it would be fun sometime to have a... Wouldn't it be cool to do a greatest bit survey of some kind? Where we have people vote, maybe on the website, for the very best bit that we ever did on the show... And then we can submit it for a Peabody Award, and then the people there could say, sorry, but Charles Osgood's getting it again this year. And then we could be humiliated and leave town with a sandwich flying coach. So we'll do that, but first, email. Once upon a time, there was a wonderful land, a land above the clouds, and it was there... that an alien came to visit humanity here on Earth to save us from ourselves. The alien came and taught us of love, taught us of the world that he came from, where everything, everyone was equal, free, and happy. And so today we worship the alien. We worship the alien and desire sexual union with the alien. Never mind that the alien doesn't exist. Speaking of cooking things up, you see, ufologists don't take drugs. We cook all that stuff up in our heads on our own. A little light here, a cigar-shaped object there, and the next thing you know, we're at Burning Man. Thank you very much, Doctor. Where do I get paid? down the hall. Hey, Phil, I got XM Satellite for Christmas, and you are definitely right about satellite radio being the future of radio. No long, boring commercial breaks anymore. I'd love to see you go exclusively to satellite and hear an FCC-free Phil Henry show, as long as it did not interfere with backstage passes. No matter what, your show always rules. Keep up the good work, Kyle, Atlanta. Yeah, we'd still have the backstage pass, wouldn't we? How does that work? I know, in areas where you don't get satellite radio, but there are no areas where you don't get satellite radio. Satellite radio is cool because you get it everywhere. You don't have any stations fading out on you, I don't think. Wait a minute, a message is coming in. We're on XM channel 152. XM channel 152. Hi, Phil. What did you produce in the past? Television. I would love to see it. Thanks. Brant Schock. And Brant writes from somewhere out there in the world. I produced two television pilots, Brant. One was called Phil at the Gate, and the other was called Phil Hendry.
Didn't you, that wasn't the only one, was it?
What was the other one that I produced?
Didn't you produce one called Randy Rhodes?
Why would I produce one called Randy Rhodes?
That was the alternate name of your Phil Hendry.
What do you mean the alternate name of the Phil Hendry animated pilot?
Yeah.
Why would I give an alternate name to the Phil Hendry animated pilot, Randy Rhodes?
Because you didn't want to be repetitive about the other one.
Repetitive about, yeah, that's right, bud, because I didn't want it to sound like the NBC pilot. I don't want to call it Phil at the Gate. I won't call it Phil Hendry. I'll call it Randy Rhodes. You know, bud, that French horn makes me feel sad. Sad because I'm looking at you. All right, now, Phil, the backstage pass is the best thing since bottled beer. I started listening to you in L.A. in 98 and moved to Brooklyn in 02. Since New York radio is crap and I'm cheap, I started downloading clips of your show on P2P networks. The clips I found are great, but thank God I finally shelled out the dough for the backstage pass. If any of your listeners see someone with an iPod lose their crap on the L train, it's probably me. I only have one question for you. Have you ever done a bit where callers were actually offended by a part of the bit that you didn't intend to be the offensive part? Thanks, Dan in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. I think this is the guy that runs the drives the train, man. Isn't it that we got a subway train guy? I don't know, man. I don't know what you mean by being offended by a part of the bit that wasn't supposed to be offensive. I've had a lot of people. Yeah, as a matter of fact, every time I say my name, someone's offended. That wasn't part of the bit. I mean, it wasn't the offensive part of the bit, or so I thought. Hi, I'm Phil Hendry. All right, that's it. Get him out of here. Why? Just the name. The name itself is Brown. You know how they say, see how Brown can help you? Well, it ain't helping me. When I hear your name, all I see is Brown. Four or five shades of it. Anyway, Phil, Titans have been to the, the Titans have been to the 80, to the Super Bowl. They played the Rams, in which the game ended with one of the greatest plays in Super Bowl history. I screamed this to the radio last night to impress my wife. She wasn't impressed, Frank. You're right. The Titans were in the Super, forgive me. Titans made it to the Super Bowl. The Jags ain't been. The Lions ain't been. The Cardinals ain't been. The Seahawks ain't been. The Saints haven't been there. And I think, Wayne, there was one other one you put up in a thing. It's no big thing. Sooner or later, everybody plays in the Super Bowl. One of these days, the Lakers are going to play in the Super Bowl. Hi, Phil. My name's Laura, and I wrote you before. I'm the girl from Japan, one of your 20 girl fans. I just wanted to write this time to let you know how much the MP3s of your show helped me survive the various bus, train, and boat trips I have to take during my three-week trip to Laos and Thailand. They especially helped during the two-day... You know what? This is too long to read. I'll read it when we come back. This is the gal who... She's a teacher in Japan, and she wrote me a letter saying, from the land of bowl haircuts, greetings. And then she sent a picture of her and her students. Okay, Laura, we were wondering what happened to you, Laura, so we'll read your letter when we come back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
So anyway, we have this letter here from Laura, and Laura's a listener of ours in Japan. It says, my name's Laura. I wrote you before. I'm the girl teacher from Japan, one of your 20 girl fans. I just wanted to write this time to let you know how much the MP3s of your show helped me survive the various buses, trains, and boat trips I had to take during my three-week trip to Laos and Thailand. They especially helped during the two-day-long boat trip I took down the Mekong River in Laos. Good God, was that a vacation? Was that a... Was she, what are you, working for the Red Cross? Are you an assistant in a leper colony? Why? Inquiring, whining minds want to know. I wanted to share a few of these pictures, but it seems you can't attach pictures via this form thing. If you're interested, I'd love to share a few. It was a good trip, but for some reason, I didn't meet any other Americans. More people really need to travel, I think, especially to back me up against some of the Brits who forbade me from talking about my own country. The usual response when I said I was from the U.S., oh. Well, sorry to take up your time, but keep up the good work. I hope to hear more from R.C. Collins sometime soon. And good luck on your TV show, Laura Hokkegi, from Atutsu, Japan, which is 8 hours by train west of Tokyo. Thank you, Laura. And you know what? Send me those pictures. Yeah, the form on the website. But, God, how can they do it? Just send it to phs@philhenryshow.com. And you can attach it that way, and we'll get it. Because I think that's the way you did it the first time, didn't you, Laura? You sent me pictures once before. How did you do it then? Jesus. You know what? And the other thing to comment on that whole being a foreign... I've been, you know, I've traveled in other countries. I've been the American. And the Brits like to stick it to you a little bit. The Brits will say things like you're a secondhand European. But really, the only way to deal with any foreigner who doesn't allow you to talk about yourself or to talk about your country because, you know, they don't dig it, is to get into a fight with them, get into a fist fight, a physical fight. Tell them, well, yes, I am going to. And then they'll want to push you and then just clock them right across, right there on the chin, or do one of those karate moves with the palm of your hand right into the nose, and that'll drive their limey nose right back up into their brain. Thank you. Thank you for listening. You know, this whole thing about America is just not too popular around the world. I think it's bull crap. I think people don't dig Americans just because it's chic right now, you know. But when we bail the world out again for some other thing that it got itself into, they'll be kissing our ass. They already kiss our ass anyway. They can't freaking live without our jeans. Can't live without our TV shows. In fact, I said to a guy who was over here from Britain, I said, well, you know, we really rip off British TV. He goes, hey, you know, your shows are popular over there. I said, are you kidding? What show is popular in Britain? I think he mentioned, some show, I don't know what it was, National Geographic. You know, the Huntley-Brinkley Report. You know, it's like a 50-year-old tape. Old news. What are you talking about, man? I like the Kennedy assassination coverage. It's real big over there. And they just play it over and over and over again. Thank you, and thanks for watching Howard Stern. All right, here's one from Jim Sacca, who is the operations manager at some company that I don't want to mention him, I don't know what it is. Greatest show on radio, keep up the good work. By the way, the Tennessee Titans were in the Super Bowl against the Rams. You are right, my brother. And here's one from Eric. Did you hear about the protesters that are going to picket at one of the West Virginia miners' funerals this Sunday? They're from Kansas. They also expressed happiness when Katrina hit. They're based out of Kansas. Oh, that's that. They're psychotic. They're psychedelic and psychotic. That www, God Hates Fags. I'm thinking about starting a website called God Hates Gods That Hates Fags. Anyway, I spoke to Jesus. He thinks they're idiots also. Eric. Yeah, I don't know what the guy's problem is. He's obviously in need of a lot of attention. But I think God Hates Fags, if you want my honest opinion. You know that whole website? I think it's a gag. I think it's a joke site. I think the whole thing is urban guerrilla comedy. I mean, the guy's got a real weird sense of humor, but I think those guys are so extreme, like the World Weekly News, the whole thing is just one big gag. I'd like to know who his writers are. If you visit that website, it's so extreme, it is my opinion that those guys are going for comedy. They're not going to incite anybody. Protesting at a West Virginia miner's funeral, it's not too far from Ted giving booze to an autistic kid. Hello, my name is John Ain, and we invite you to Ain Steakhouse. That's right, we're on Interstate 10 in San Dimas, California. Ain Steakhouse has the thickest, juiciest steaks that you could ever possibly imagine. And even if they're not, one thing we do guarantee at Ain's Steakhouse, our waitresses have the biggest asses of any waitress in a steakhouse where you serve yourself and cook for yourself, and they just take the drink order and look tired and bored. Ain's Steakhouse off of Interstate 10. We have thick, juicy Texas beef. We've got Indiana corn fed. I can't read the cue card, Eddie. Hold it steady for me, will you please?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And we also have waitresses who are in skin-tight spray-on jeans and rear ends that would take out your bag. We got to knock a wall out. What could make a man hungrier than to walk into a steakhouse with checkered tablecloths and those peanut shells on the floor and some chick walking up to you with the thighs rubbing together and saying,
what do you want to have to eat tonight, huh, honey?
You'll have to pardon me, folks, but I had a big schooner of beer just before I was to record this commercial, and I'm a little sloppy, just a little bit. So come on in, and I'll tap off a big pitcher for you, and you and I can just drink out of the same pitcher. Just don't backwash, though. Nothing tightens my jaws like that when someone backwashes into a pitcher that I'm sharing. But come on in. And by the way, this is me on the guitar. I recorded my own commercial. I do all my own music out of my garage. Ames Steakhouse, Interstate 10, San Dimas. Big asses. How's that, boys? I'd like to do it again if we could, Jim. And let me just... Oh, come on. That was perfect. No. I think the use of the... I like the whole idea of the big asses. Is there something... Fix his tie, will you?
This is a radio commercial. What is...
Here, let me... Get the queer hands off of me, will you? Yeah, I'm like... Okay, that's good. Let's do it again. Let's give it a little more oomph, okay? And let's try it one more time. Remember to sell it, the steaks, the big large butts on the girls. Let's go, okay? And one, and a two. Hold on. You like that music?
Hell, I like that. I recorded that music. Why wouldn't I like that music?
Well, it's a little corn-fed, a little corn pony. You know,
corn pole. Well, I like it.
All right, here we go. And action.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jim Ames at Jim Ames Steakhouse, Interstate 10 in San Dimas, California. We've got steak, yeah. But the big selling point at our steakhouse are the large rear ends on our waitresses. Huge? That doesn't even begin to cover what we're talking about. Now, if you come into Ames Steakhouse, sure, you'll get a steak. I can't guarantee it'll be any good, but what I do guarantee is some chick coming up to the table with the thighs rubbing together so hard that you'll swear to God, if you light a cigarette, or let's say you're cleaning out something with the ether salt, forget it, man.
All right, cut. What's wrong?
I can't remember everything that I want.
Hold on for a minute. You're doing fine. What I want to do here is let's concentrate on the asses, get to the fact... What are you looking at?
I'm looking at my phone book.
Don't look at your phone book. We're doing a commercial.
I want to call my wife. I want her to come pick me up.
You don't know your wife's number?
No, she doesn't live with me.
Well, why do you want her to pick you up?
I don't know. I'm feeling a lot of queers around here.
All right, let's forget about my orientation for a minute, can you? And forget about Eric. And forget about Todd. We're here to help.
All right.
Now, let's do the commercial. Let's concentrate on how the thighs rubbing together will ignite a can of ether. That's what you wanted to say, right?
I wanted to say, if you're cleaning something with ether, and she happens to walk up to take your dinner order, you see?
Yes. So say that.
All right.
All right. Eric, how are we doing? Let's just try it one more time. All right, Anne. Ready? Action.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jim Ames at Ames Steakhouse, Route 10. Ah, shoot.
What's wrong?
It's Interstate 10.
Oh, for Christ.
Boop. Thank you.
Let's roll back.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jim Ames of Ames Steakhouse on Interstate 10 in San Dimas, California. We've got great steaks, but one thing we've really got, waitresses with big rear ends. If you come in, you'll see all of our waitresses in skin-tight jeans and asses that you'd have to knock the back door out to get through the wall. You understand what I'm saying? Plus, when she walks up, the thighs will be rubbing together, so to the point... Ah, shoot, I forgot.
Well, what is it? You're cleaning something, right?
Yeah, with ether.
All right, let's try it again.
Take two.
Hello, everyone. Jim Ames here of Ames Steakhouse. We're on Interstate 10 in San Dimas. If you come in, you'll love the food, but you'll like the big rear ends on our waitresses. Plus, they rub together, the thighs, that is, so tight that if you're cleaning an engine block with ether at your table, I can't do it, I tell you.
Ames Steakhouse, Interstate 10, San Dimas.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Tragedy strikes in Sydney, Australia. Good evening, I'm Phil Hendry. A man was pulled from a washing machine after he got himself wedged in there while playing a game with his children. Fortunately, fire officers were able to pull Robin Toome out of the machine after he became trapped while playing hide-and-seek with his children. This is the kind of thing that I can't even begin to imagine. could possibly happen in a civilized world where human beings together are trying to create a man wedged in a washing machine. Thank God. Thank God. There were people, good people who work for the fire department who could pull him out and save him. Otherwise, his wife would have come home and seen him like that. And it would have just oh, thank God, after everything, 9/11, everything. A guy got wedged in a washing machine and he's okay.
All right, we'll be back in a moment. Actually, I had some things I wanted to tell you, but I forgot what they were because that last little episode actually brought tears to my eyes. I was method acting. Are my eyes wet? Yeah, see? So that shows you the kind of actor that you can expect on Teachers this spring on NBC. Anyway, Brokeback Mountain, speaking of critics, and I wasn't, but let's just say I was, the Critics' Choice Awards were announced on Monday. Oh, goody. Yes, the 11th annual Critics' Choice. See, the critics, you may not know what a critic is. A critic is someone who knows more about something than you do. For instance, movies. You may know movies, but you don't know as much as a critic. A critic is someone who knows more about, if like a film critic, he knows more about movies than you do. Why else would he, he's a film critic. Why wouldn't he know more about it? You think you know movies? You don't know diddly squat until you read some cat in a newspaper say it's okay. Until then, it's up in the air, baby. It's anything goes. If he gives it a thumbs up, good, your taste is great. If he gives it a thumbs down, your taste is in your rear end. Okay? So just remember that as I announce the Critics' Choice Awards now. Okay, you ready? Is this one of your favorite movies? Because here it is. Brokeback Mountain. Oh, you didn't like it, huh? Didn't like to go to the movie about the queers? Well, guess what? You're an idiot. Because the critics dig it. You went to see King Kong? You thought Narnia was hot? Well, you're wrong. Brokeback Mountain. A movie that they've been trying to sell now for a month. First, it was a gay romance. Then it's just a romance that happens to be between two guys, but it's really kind of a chick flick. Now it's a movie that's about two gay guys that is a chick flick, but it's one that guys will like, too, if you can get past the fact that the kissing is between two men. Yeah. Best actor, Philip Seymour Hoffman. I agree with that one. Did you see Capote? That guy kicks ass. Philip Seymour Hoffman's brilliant. Everything that guy does is fantastic. And then this Capote, you got to see it. Reese Witherspoon and Walk the Line. You know, ever since she did that hick in that Cold Mountain, man, now they got her playing hick after hick. She playing plays June Carter. Isn't she a hick?
June Carter?
Not Jew Carter. June Carter.
Oh, I don't know.
Well, she was married to Johnny Cash. She's got to be Southern.
I don't know.
Paul Giamatti in Cinderella, man. He's great. Supporting actress Amy Adams in June Bug, Michelle Williams in Brokeback Mountain, acting ensemble Crash, director Ang Lee. So that's it. Is that Ang Lee from Canada, Wayne? Yeah, he's a Canadian bowl haircut. Thanks a lot. That's why we got that movie. Well, that's it for the Critics' Choice Awards. Tonight, the bowl haircuts rule with Brokeback Mountain. Ang Lee will be accepting. Mr. Lee?
It's out of sight. Just want to say thank everybody. Ian Holm, you know, I'm sorry I fired you for my last movie. It's out of sight.
All right, thanks a lot. Get out of here, will you, man? Jesus. And get that pickled cabbage out of here, would you, please?
Hey, I won the award.
I know. Good for you, but I won it off the stage. All right, and the writer, Paul Haggis and Bobby Maresco for Crash. Animated feature, Wallace and Gromit for The Curse of Were-Rabbit. Freddie Highmore for Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, and Dakota Fanning won for Young Actress War of the Worlds, for Infant Actor Shorty Long for the 40-year-old Virgin, and for A Fetus Not Yet Born.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
And the winner of Best Director for a motion picture that no one really wanted to see but were browbeaten into seeing it by their girlfriends, the movie Brokeback Mountain, Ang Lee. Ang, come on up.
Oh, yeah! Yeah! Finally, man, I tried him. I'm going to get the air.
That's great. Ang Lee now going to the podium. That's great. Ang Lee, of course, the director of Brokeback Mountain.
And Ang has directed a lot of movies that people have gone, what is this about, man? Did you ever see Ice Storm, Bill? No, I haven't. And by the way, the winner of the Freedom Award, George Clooney. Isn't that marvelous? By the way, he was stuck in the prop of his own speedboat. How tragic.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.